From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Marty Johnson reporting. 8 days after the deadliest mass shooting in American history, the U.S. Senate votes down four proposals to restrict those eligible to purchase firearms and expand screening of gun buyers. Late Monday, Republicans blocked proposals championed by Democrats after Islamic State-inspired attack in Orlando, Florida, 9 days ago. Democratic senators, including Chris Murphy of Connecticut, held a news conference after the votes.
Today, they've moved on to assault weapons. They specifically recruit lone wolf attackers to go to gun shows to buy assault weapons. And we should take the same tact. So we're not giving up. The American people aren't giving up. We'll watch how these negotiations play out over the next few days, but I will tell you this. They are simply evidence of the fact that Republicans know they are on the wrong side of the electorate. Democracy doesn't allow for this place to be this far out of step with 90% of Americans for very long.
One measure, or rather two, would have blocked those on a variety of federal terror watch lists, including those barred from flying from buying guns. Another would expand mandatory background gun checks for firearm purchases to include gun shows and internet sales. Republicans said they could not vote for any proposal that did not provide a means for those wrongly placed on the terror watch list to contest the government's decision. In transcripts released on Monday, the gunman who killed 49 patrons at the Florida nightclub on June 12th called himself an Islamic soldier during phone calls with authorities. The officials believe that Omar Mateen, who was killed in a shootout with police, was acting alone and had no direct assistance from Islamic militant networks, but was homegrown terrorism. This is VOA News. The transcript of the phone calls between Omar Mateen and 911 was originally redacted to remove his pledge of allegiance to the Islamic State, but full transcripts were released after pressure from Congress. Lee Bentley is the U.S. attorney involved in the investigation of that mass shooting.
We wanted to release the transcripts at this time so that the public would have a better idea of the timeline during the morning hours of June 12th, and also so that you would have a better idea of what the law enforcement officers on the ground were dealing with when they made the decision to enter the nightclub.
The Justice Department said that in redacting the scripts, it was trying to be sensitive to victims' families and not provide publicity for a terrorist group. Outside a refugee camp Tuesday, a car bomb killed at least six Jordanian border guards and wounded 14 others. There has been no immediate claim of responsibility. In Syria, Islamic State fighters launched counterattacks, pushing government forces out of Raqqa province and trying to break the grip of the U.S.-backed Syrian rebels on the outskirts of the IS-held town of Manbij. Regional analyst Stephen Zunes.
Very few guerrilla groups and virtually no terrorist groups have been able to mount this kind of conventional counterattack. So this is indeed a reminder that we're not dealing with an ordinary terrorist group here.
Stephen Zunes speaking there. In Washington, Secretary of State John Kerry said Monday he plans to meet with department employees who co-signed a so-called dissent channel memo on U.S.-Syria policy. Kerry called it well-written and very good. White House spokesman Josh Earnest was asked if the president shared that view.
The president does believe that having a procedure in place for State Department employees to make their dissenting views known is valuable. But I think we've been just as clear about the president's policy in Syria, how it has not led yet to the results that we would like to see in Syria, but it has prevented a repetition of mistakes that previous administrations have made.
The 51 mostly mid-level diplomats have called for targeted airstrikes against the Syrian regime as a means of exerting pressure on President Bashar al-Assad's regime to pursue a political settlement. Current policy is focused on ousting terrorists and backing a stalled UN-led effort for talks between the government and opposition. The Democratic Republic of Congo on Monday declared a yellow fever epidemic in three provinces, including the capital, Kinshasa, after confirming nearly 70 cases. Five people are dead. There are more than 1,000 suspected cases of yellow fever. I'm Marty Johnson in Washington.
That's the latest world news from VOA.